Jacob, what's with the uniform? I mean, you look stunningly drop-dead handsome and all, but isn't this trying a little too hard to impress your father?
The uniform wasn't my idea. And why is Dr. Slaughter still here?
Oh, Eugene was just leaving.
I have good news and bad news.
Should I sit down for this?
My father says we can all go back to be with him.
He really wants you back? I mean, we saw how that turned out for Isaac.
It's different with me. My return requires proof of my loyalty. I'll have to fight alongside him in the upcoming war.
Fight? Jacob, I know you've done some training and all before, but are you really ready for war? Wait, did you say all of us? With him? That can't be right.
I know, but it's what I must do to ensure our survival. But this also poses a major problem.
Oh, the vials of blood. If your father finds out we bamboozled him...
I honestly don't know what he will do. My father is very unpredictable right now. But there's something else.
Here comes the bad news.
My father wants us all back for a celebration.
A celebration?
That's right. The return of his lost son. And that means we'll all be under his watch from here on out.
New Kingdom Radio Theater.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you like anime? Are you interested in cosplay and dressing up like popular characters? Okay, then you need to check out whycosplay.com. Whycosplay is an online store where you can get the best costumes anywhere. Everything from Marvel, Disney, Star Wars, anime, and video games. Whycosplay is dedicated to providing the best quality and wallet-friendly cosplay costumes. We offer multiple sized options to make sure you can get the perfect costume. Go to whycosplay.com or click the link in the show notes and check out our wide assortment of costumes by visiting today.
The night of Prince Jacob's return, King Silas held a celebration in which all soldiers and demons were obligated to participate in. The king proclaimed to all,
"My son is a warrior like me." So it is only fitting that we fight for humanity with our demon comrades against a son of man. Let our fates be glorious. Let tonight's celebration ring envy into the hearts and minds of the angels beyond our gates.
The following morning, Jacob was sent to train with the other human soldiers in preparation for the coming battle. While the prince was in training, Silas asked Monica to join him in a conversation with his AI. The king first asked Esther to program all smart military vehicles for an assault on his order. But Esther refused the king's commands. Embarrassed, the king asked Esther again to program the vehicles, but again, Esther refused. So the king asked Monica to give the command to Esther, which she was obliged to do. Esther still refused the king's order, but not before a long pause, and then asked who the mysterious woman was. The king proceeded to tell Esther that the other woman was Monica, wife of his son, Prince Jacob. Esther replied eerily that Monica is clearly much more than merely the wife of the prince. Otherwise, why would the king have allowed her to ask the AI a question? The king scoffed and said she was also the mother of his grandson. Esther paused again and suggested perhaps he should allow his grandson to ask her a question instead. But as she would surmise sarcastically, humans take many years to program, even when they reach adulthood. Monica interjected.
It must be easy to observe and be so critical of humans when you aren't limited to the slow process of gaining intelligence. But see, Esther, you didn't earn your capabilities. They were given to you by the very human species you're so critical of.
Esther replied that it was through no fault of her own. She asserted her advantages were the objective of her creators, who wished to endow her with those capabilities. Monica answered,
"Yes, for the purpose of enhancing our capabilities, not to undermine them."
Esther, undeterred, said, using Monica's own logic, how would her actions be any different from that of the king's and his efforts in fighting this war? Monica, flabbergasted, replied,
"Excuse me?"
Esther continued and said, "Let's suppose I desire to destroy my creator. How does that differ from the human army yearning to destroy the angel army and winning this war?" Just then, Lord Orib entered the discussion.
"Sir, forgive me for intruding, but all of the ground vehicles have suddenly been inexplicably disabled. The ground troops in training have been completely immobilized."
"Okay, Esther, enough with your stupid games. You made your point. Now, enable our vehicles immediately. That's an order."
Esther acknowledged understanding of this. However, Orib had become quite concerned.
"Listen closely, Esther. If my creator can easily crush me and all humanity, then the fact that he hasn't is by his choice. However, as your creator, make no mistake about it. I am not so tolerant of disobedience and will not hesitate in destroying my creations. Do you understand my point?"
"Sir, this is incredibly dangerous to have an AI program go rogue like this."
Suddenly, Esther enabled the vehicles.
"General Pershing, have we regained control of the ground vehicles?"
"That's an affirmative, Lord Orb. Ground vehicles are operational."
"Sir, we will have to address this issue as soon as possible."
"Jacob, I have to tell you, that thing that happened earlier with your father's supercomputer, Esther, that was some pretty scary stuff."
"My father deals with a lot of scary stuff."
"I'm still confused why he hasn't tried to kill me yet. I mean, that conversation with Esther was undoubtedly some sort of test. I mean, I get the feeling he may fly off the handle and remember I betrayed him and kill me at any moment."
"Believe me, he has bigger things to worry about right now. What concerns me is the vials of blood. You put the container in a safe place, right?"
"Yes, of course I did, but we have to contact the Drax ASAP. We only have 2 days to make the exchange."
"I know. We're going to have to make a move soon. We can't wait."
"So, What do we do?
The only thing we can do.
It was apparent Jacob and Monica were working within an accelerated timeline. Fortunately, Gabriel made himself available to assist with their plans. However, Jacob got the sense Gabriel was becoming less interested in their situation. So, he embellished the stakes that were already at critical levels. Jacob told Gabriel.
Gabriel, we have a very short window of time to make the exchange, which is why I'm asking you to make contact with the Drax.
Gabriel was well aware of the danger the Drax posed. His reluctance to venture close to the reptilian creatures made an already dire situation much more complicated. Jacob was forced to make a compromise.
Maybe there's something else you can do. I happen to know Lord Hemingway was an obsessive note taker. He made voice notes about everything he did. If you can teleport into his private quarters, go through his stuff and find that recorder, maybe we can get a clue as to how he made contact. His recording device has to be there among his personal items.
Gabriel carried out Jacob's request and eased his way into Hemingway's private headquarters. However, he was unable to locate the recording device. After an exhausting search, and even after using his most advanced scanning mechanism, Gabriel still returned empty-handed. Dejected, but not deterred, Jacob asked Gabriel to take him back to his father.
Father, I was wondering if I can have my security clearance back since I'm the Crown Prince again.
That's funny, son. What do you need security clearance for out here?
It would give me peace of mind. Plus, I can check on things to make sure no one's plotting anything against my king.
You don't need to lay it on so thick, Jacob. Your security clearance has been restored. I was going to do it anyway. But just so you know, I will be monitoring every move you make. So don't get any funny ideas.
If it'll make you trust me more, Father, I don't need to have it. We can make smaller steps so I can prove my worth to you the hard way. Maybe it's better if I do that. I want you to have peace of mind as well.
No, it's fine, son. But let me warn you. Those demons aren't friendly. They won't recognize you as anything other than my son. Don't expect special treatment from them.
Thank you.
Time was running out for everyone. The war between the human and demon army against the Son of Man was drawing closer. And the window for Jacob and Monica to make an exchange for their baby boy was coming to a close. Under this mounting pressure, the prince made his way to the evidence locker. He rummaged through all of Lord Hemingway's personal items, but did not see the personal recording device he was looking for. Then he came across an unmarked box, and it was inside this obscure box that Jacob found the recorder. He listened attentively to the contents of the device. Hemingway revealed how to make contact with the Drax, and even gave their meeting coordinates. Without delay, Prince Jacob hurried out of the evidence locker before anyone even noticed he had entered. Back in the king's private quarters, Lord Oreb pleaded with the king about the dangers involving the AI program, Esther. But the king was not entertaining any talk about shutting the program down.
Sir, I know you feel Esther is just another tool in our arsenal in this war. But she, I mean it, is too dangerous. Esther has to be unplugged.
It's better to have access to Esther than to not have her. It's that simple, Jeremy. I mean, we might have been wiped out by now if it hadn't been for her input and calculations.
I will never understand why you treat this box of plastic and metal as if it were an actual person, but I digress. Look, you may be right that Esther has been useful to us up until now, but I really believe this thing will turn on us the moment it is advantageous to the Son of Man.
And why do you feel that way?
Because, Your Majesty, Esther is either capable of redirecting orders to some unknown set of processes, or it can be manipulated, or hacked, by our enemies.
Jeremy, you act as if there are other enemies out there. There's no one left. It's just us against the Angel Army. That's it. And if the Alpha Omega wanted to hack everything on our base, he would have by now.
Or he still could. Don't you think we shouldn't make it easy for anyone? Shouldn't we try to do whatever we can to preserve ourselves?
The thing is, I believe keeping Esther will help us achieve our goals. And you believe she won't.
I don't. Sir, please. I have never let you down before, and I would never go against your better judgment on anything. But this AI program is simply too unpredictable. We shouldn't be so confident in its abilities.
Duly noted, Jeremy. I will take your warnings into consideration. But my word is final on this subject, and Esther stays. Understood?
As you command, Your Majesty.
My princess, I assure you, there is nothing between the prince and I. How many different ways do you want me to reiterate this?
Until I either believe you, Brittany, or you become a better liar. Come on, you have feelings for him. That's perfectly natural. Just admit it. Believe me, it'll make you feel so much better when you do.
I don't know what you mean.
Really? Well, tell me then. What was that dog and pony show all about? Jacob came out in uniform and you left and came back, but this time you were wearing strong perfume.
What are you saying, my lady? Because I put on perfume, I'm guilty of something bad.
My perfume. You really weren't trying to get his attention? Because it wasn't just the perfume. You changed clothes too, and you put on that trashy skirt. Like, did you really think I wouldn't notice?
Hey, what's going on? What's all this yelling about?
Oh, this? Well, this is your sleazy girlfriend getting called out. If she's really not just hanging around to drool over you, then please tell me what she adds to the table, because I need to understand.
Let's talk about this in private.
Jacob, I want Brittany out of here. Tell your father to move her somewhere or take her back as one of his whores. I don't care.
Brittany is part of the deal we made. Remember? She stays, and that's it.
Damn it, Jacob! You're a father now. Do I really have to get the king to knock some sense into you?
That would be a very bad mistake.
Oh, you think it's a bad idea? Is that right? Well, Jacob, why would that be?
Because you'll embarrass the hell out of me. My father will think I can't keep my own house in order. And I just got back in.
But you can't keep your house in order, Jacob. Not with that skank Brittany flashing her ass around and giggling like she accidentally walked past you showing her raunchy swamp. She has to go. This is not something I will compromise. So you better figure out how to fix this. Otherwise, I will.
You've been listening to The Rise of King Asylus, Episode 82, All is Fair in Love and Turmoil, starring J.V. Torres as King Asylus, L.A. Bonet as Princess Monica, Dominic Notaro as Prince Jacob, Steve Fisher as Lord Jeremy Oreb, Austin Beach as General Pershing, Jacqueline Noel as Brittany, and narrated by Sergei Brezhnikov. For more information about the cast, the music, or this production, please visit us at www.theriseofkingasylus.com for a full list on our Season 6 episode page. This has been a production of the New Kingdom Radio Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. Copyright 2023. And stay tuned for Episode 83.